Eddie Hall's quadriceps muscle was about 4.3 kilos of muscle. So more than twice the size, 120 something percent bigger, actually. And he had noticeably the biggest quadricep we've measured, not just across untrained, but across cohorts of people who've done many years of resistance training, also across some athletic groups, sub-elite and elite 100 meter track sprinters. Some of the elite people we measured in that work were really top athletes.
Hi, Jonathan. It's my pleasure to have you on Evidence Strong Show. If you could briefly introduce yourself.
So my name is Jonathan Follin. My formal title is Professor of Neuromuscular Performance here at Loughborough University in the UK, which means I'm interested in all things to do with the function and performance of human muscles.
Excellent. I invited you to talk about your study that has been just published on the World Strongman and Deadlift Champion. Are we allowed to say the name?
Yes, you are. So the study was done with Eddie Hall, who in 2017 won the World Strongest Man competition. He was also a deadlift world champion and former world record holder in the deadlift, having done a deadlift with 500 kilos. Yeah, we have his permission to share that it was him. So that's all fine.
Awesome. So why the study? Why have you decided to research Mr. Eddie Hall?
Yeah, well, I have a long-standing interest in muscular strength and strength training. And so I've kind of been interested in the things that the reasons, the anatomy, physiology, biomechanics for why some people are very strong and some people are weak for many years, actually. And we've done a series of studies looking at people who are very well trained, resistance trained, as well as some studies on athletic groups. And it just seemed like a bit of a natural extension to that to recruit and study somebody who was extraordinarily strong, obviously.
So what an opportunity to look at someone special and to actually be able to say how special they are. So what did you decide to measure?
Well, we did a couple of functional tests with Eddie, but the main thing we were interested in was his anatomy. The functional tests, I'll just mention those that we did, was an isometric mid-thigh pull, and we did a counter movement vertical jump to measure power. And of course, his values were very, very high and higher than anything in the scientific literature. No big surprise, actually. But still kind of interesting to document that. But the more interesting thing, certainly the more technical aspect, was to look at his anatomy, predominantly using an MRI scanner. So we spent some hours with Eddie in the MRI scanner, looking at his muscles mainly, and also a little bit around his knee joint and his patellar tendon. The main scan we did was all the way down from thoracic vertebra number 12, which is essentially the bottom of the chest, all the way down to the ankle, in order to measure the size of all, not quite all, but the vast majority of the lower body muscles. And we measured the size of 22 lower body muscles or compartments, and compartments meaning smaller groups of little muscles.
Could you tell us when the testing took place, which year?
Yeah, so we took the measurements with Eddie in 2018, so some years ago now. It was 13 months after he won the World Strongest Man title, maybe a couple of years since he'd set the deadlift world record. He was still training and competing. He'd won Britain's Strongest Man a few weeks before he came to visit us. So he was in reasonable shape. He probably was not in peak condition compared to what he'd been like a year before. But he was absolutely still training and competing.
All right. So what have you found?
Well, we found a really interesting pattern to his muscular development. Obviously, he's overall got lots of muscle generally. But when you get down to the level of the individual muscles, it's not quite as simple as that at all. So we found that some muscles were that much bigger to untrained control populations, such as the bicep femoris short head, which is a knee flexor muscle. It was around about 25% bigger in Eddie Hall compared to untrained population, which isn't that much bigger, especially considering he's basically just a really big guy anyway. You know, he's taller than average. He would almost certainly weigh more than average, you know, even if he hadn't ever engaged in any resistance training, I would assume. So the fact that that muscle's maybe only 25% bigger isn't much of a difference, really. Very much in the normal range. The iliopsoas, which is actually quite a big hip flexor muscle, that was around 30-35% bigger. So some of the muscles involved in these actions, which he probably doesn't train that much, knee flexion, hip flexion, not that important in lifting and carrying heavy loads, not that much bigger. Then as you go through the muscles, many of the muscles involved in the kind of what I would describe as anti-gravity movement. So extending the hip, extending the knee, extending the ankle. Those muscles were all pretty, really well developed, as you would expect, you know, in and around twice the size of an untrained control. But then when you go, but they weren't the biggest muscles. And this was really interesting. The biggest muscles, or the muscles where he had the most muscular development compared to untrained controls, was in three lesser known muscles: the sartorius, the gracilis, and the semitendinosus. Three muscles which are not that well known often. All three are long, thin muscles. They insert onto the tibia just below the knee joint, on the inside of the leg, just below the knee joint, and they all come up and attach to different points on the pelvis. And these three muscles might seem very random, but they have a lot in common, actually. They are known collectively as the guy ropes muscles because they act as guy ropes stabilizing the thigh and the pelvis, because they attach onto the same point on the tibia, but they all come up and attach onto different locations, a bit like the guy ropes in a tent. They help to stabilize the pelvis. So it's super interesting they were the biggest muscles. Sartorius, for example, was three times the size in Eddie Hall compared to a normal person. I mean, three times as big. I mean, that's incredible.
Anything interesting in tendons?
Yes. So we looked in particular detail at the quadriceps muscle tendon unit, which involves the quadriceps muscle, which is the big muscle on the front of the thigh, and tendon that it is attached to, or that's part of that muscle tendon unit, is called the patellar tendon. And what we found is that in terms of the muscle, first of all, the quadriceps muscle overall, an average person has a quadriceps muscle which is the volume of which is just under 2,000 cubic centimeters, which equates to more or less 2 kilos of muscle. Eddie Hall's quadriceps muscle was about 4.3 kilos of muscle, so more than twice the size, 120-something% bigger, actually. And he had noticeably the biggest quadricep we measured, not just across untrained, but across cohorts of people who've done many years of resistance training, also across some athletic groups, sub-elite and elite 100-meter track sprinters. Some of the elite people we measured in that work were really top athletes. You know, they'd run, the average time for the elite sprinters was under 10 seconds for 100 meters. So that these were really good athletes. But he had by far the biggest quadricep we've measured. So that's the first thing. Then we also looked at the leverage of that muscle tendon unit around the knee joint. So essentially, what is the lever arm, or the moment arm is the technical term for the quadriceps and the patellar tendon around the knee joint. And Eddie had the biggest moment arm that we've measured, which means he has a skeletal structural anatomical advantage, aside from his muscles, towards greater strength, because he has greater leverage around the knee joint, which will tend to amplify any of the differences he has in his muscle. The line of his tendon was longer. So he's up on around 52 millimeters. An untrained, healthy young man would be around 43, 44. So he has a mechanical advantage at the knee joint, which would predispose towards greater strength. So that was a really interesting thing. And then we also measured the size of his patellar tendon, so the tendon attached to the quadriceps muscle, remembering that the quadriceps muscle was 127% bigger than untrained control. The patellar tendon, the difference compared to untrained individuals, was much more modest, around 30% bigger. So not nearly as big. So these two things don't seem to kind of increase in proportion. And we kind of know that, actually, because we know that muscle is very adaptable. With training, muscle will respond and muscle will grow and hypertrophy occurs, but tendon much less so. So it's interesting to speculate about, you know, is tendon being bigger? How much of that is due to kind of nature, his innate characteristics? How much of it is nurture or the environment and his training that has created the bigger tendon and the bigger muscle, actually? But it seems that the tendon doesn't seem to adapt to nearly the same extent, which is super interesting. But reinforces actually kind of what we know from shorter term resistance training studies, where the tendon hypertrophy or growth of the tendon is quite limited. Small changes may occur, but only quite small.
Have you found anything unexpected? Something you have a huge knowledge, you have huge experience, you tested hundreds, if not thousands, people before. Was there anything that you were like, wow, I have not expected that?
Well, I guess the pattern of muscular development, you know, if you'd asked me in advance that the three muscles, which would be the biggest in the, you know, most developed in a world's strongest man champion would be the sartorius, the gracilis, and the temitendinosus. I would never have guessed those muscles. It's not that I wouldn't have thought that they might be quite well developed, but would I have thought they would be the most developed? No, not at all. Not at all. So that was completely new, completely surprising and fascinating. Yeah, that would be the biggest one.
Awesome. Last question, where people can find you if they want to look at your other studies or they want to keep up to date with what you're doing?
Yeah, well, I have a webpage on the Loughborough University site. You can search for me in PubMed and other search engines to look at my scientific publications.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you so much for tonight.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you.